Under President Vladimir Putin, Russia has grown a reputation as an autocratic state where news is censored and journalists are intimidated. Now, to discuss the state of press in Russia under Putin, I'm joined by Graham Gill, Emeritus Professor at Sydney University. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Okay, let me just scroll down. We're talking about journalism in Russia now, particularly at the moment and for the last few decades. It's been a dangerous profession. Just how dangerous is it being a journalist in Russia at the moment?
Well, some years ago, the International Association that looks at journalistic freedom rated Russia as the most dangerous, or one of the most dangerous, if not the most dangerous place on earth for journalists. I'm not sure that rating still applies, but clearly what we have is a situation in which independent journalists do find themselves under pressure at various times, depending upon what they're reporting.
So there's been some big name journalists that have been killed, so the likes of Anna Politkovskaya. Can you tell us just some of the journalists that have been killed in recent times in the line of duty?
Well, the main one is as you said, Anna Politkovskaya. That was about 12 years ago. She wrote for an independent publication in Moscow. You've got to understand that a lot of the media outlets are owned by big companies which have close connections to the Russian state, and therefore a lot of the media is not seen internationally as being truly independent. But she wrote for one of the main independent newspapers within Moscow. She wrote principally about atrocities that had occurred during the war in Chechnya, which was a war raised by rebels in that region trying to break away from Russia, which was put down pretty brutally by the Putin regime. She wrote about atrocities there, and she was killed in sort of strange circumstances. Well, strange circumstances in the sense that she was assassinated at the entrance hall to her apartment block. The people who perpetrated it, the people who pulled the trigger, or who claimed pulled the trigger, were actually arrested, tried, and found guilty. But it's not clear who was behind them, and that's the real thing. And of course, this is the issue with most of the journalists who have fallen foul of people in Russia. That there's a lot of suspicion that what.
Sorry about that. So we've been talking a little bit about how dangerous it is being a journalist in Russia. Now there's been some pretty high profile journalists that were killed, like Anna Politkovskaya, and also there's been a range of other deaths recently. Maxim Brodkin died of injuries falling from a building. Now he recently wrote about crime and corruption and Russian mercenaries in Syria. Other examples, a group of journalists who were investigating activity in the Central African Republic were also killed. Is this a particular thing that a lot of journalists, if they report on particular sort of military involvement of the involvement of military forces, that they find themselves in particular danger?
Yeah, it is the case that where they're reporting on military related issues, it seems to be particularly dangerous. What that suggests is that the people who are taking exception to this may be related to the military structures of the state, as opposed to, for example, the civilians. Now, it's clearly not it's not clear exactly what role someone like Putin plays in all of this. Because it's very unlikely that Putin would concern himself with the fate of any particular journalist, because he's got nothing to gain by that. But clearly, by highlighting the sorts of problems that have existed within the military at various times, this has direct implications for people in positions of authority in the military, so that there's often a very strong implication there that they're not doing their jobs properly. And therefore, it's possible that that they decide to react in this way rather than Putin doing it. But of course, Putin has established a sort of system in which this appears to be acceptable, or if not acceptable, at least it appears that very powerful people can get away with it. So he's not absolved of responsibility, even if he's not the one who's actually doing the direction as to who should be dealt with or not.
Now, media reporting is all the base around the public's right to know. Now, with so much of the media in Russia, and in particular the public media being very much a government mouthpiece, and most of the media owned by businesses that a lot of the activity is based around the Putin and his inner circle, how well is the Russian public served for their informational needs?
Well, the state controls, or the state owns, or has a significant ownership stake in most of the national media. That is the media that broadcasts right across the country. But beneath that, there are a lot of more independent publications and radio and, to a lesser extent, television stations, which do take a more independent role from the state. Now, they clearly have limited geographical coverage, if you like, but if you happen to live in one of the areas where one of these is operating, well, then you can get a freer and more rounded approach to news services than is the case if you only have access to the state-controlled ones.
Now, there's substantial laws against public assembly, and there's also a range of security legislations. Do these sort of regulations in particular impede the ability of Russian journalists to be able to report fearlessly on what's actually happening in the country?
Well, yeah. I mean, the rules about assembly and that sort of thing are sort of pretty heavy-handed. And those rules can be used to pick up, if you like, anybody who may be on the edges of the sort of activity that they're designed to prevent. So that if there is a demonstration and it's deemed to be illegal, and it's not hard for a demonstration to be deemed to be illegal, and the police take action, well, then if there are journalists there who are covering it, they can simply get caught up in that and grabbed as well. And that clearly has happened on various occasions. So what there is clearly a among very many journalists there, what there is a sense that it's almost sort of self-censorship, that they have to be careful and want to be careful about what they say because they don't want to upset people who might take umbrage at what they say and seek to take action against them. So it's not just the application of the rules. It's the environment that the rules set up, which is most erosive of press freedom and free reporting and that sort of thing.
Now, according to Transparency International, when it comes to corruption, and Russia fares very poorly. Now, just a few days ago, the European Commission of Human Rights ruled that Russia violated the rights of Sergei Magnitsky, an auditor who died a decade ago while he was in custody. Now, this was very much involved in, he was being a whistleblower involved in exposing wide-scale corruption. Now, there's this Magnitsky Act has been enacted in several countries internationally. Would this in any way help this sort of legislation to deal with the oligarchs and figures of repression that are currently at the head of the Russian government?
Well, the Magnitsky Act gives the government that passes that act the power to impose sanctions upon identified individuals. It depends a little bit exactly on what is said in the Act. The Magnitsky Act in the US has been introduced in two tranches. First, it was introduced and it covered simply these named individuals in the US. So So American banking facilities were closed to them, for example. Then in 2016, that was enlarged, and the Americans have said that they'll take action against these named individuals anywhere internationally that they operate. So the Americans are actually exerting an extraterritorial jurisdiction, which it's not clear whether you can do that. But anyway, that's what they've done. There's the Magnitsky Act has been implemented in five other countries at this stage, right? Britain, Canada, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. The Australian Parliament has had a proposal for a Magnitsky Act before it until before the last election, but of course when Parliament's prorogued, that proposal drops away. But there is an endeavour to get that proposal up once again. The problem with it is that what it does is that it gives the country that passes that act the right to asserts the right to impose sanctions upon named individuals. But up until now, by and large, the named individuals that have been picked up in it have been middle level and lower level people. So, you know, in Magnitsky, for example, it's it was one of the people picked up was the guy who runs the prison that he died in. Mm-hmm. But clearly there were people higher up the ladder who were involved in it, but they haven't been picked up in it. So the problem with the Magnitsky Act is that the possibility is that it will pick up the sort of smaller fry rather than getting the ones who are really responsible for it. And so it may not act as the sort of major weapon against these people that many people had hoped it would.
Okay, well, thank you for being on the show. That was Emeritus Professor Graham Gill from the University of Sydney talking to us about the real dangers faced by investigative journalists in modern-day Russia.